In Titus chapter 2, we'll jump right into verse 11. We're going to read 11 through 15. By the end, we'll have done all of Titus chapter 2 this morning. Titus chapter 2 and verse 11. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us, that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. These things speak and exhort and rebuke with all authority. Let no man despise thee. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for this morning. Thank you for your word. God, it is such a privilege to be able to assemble here together. Open up your word, knowing that we have the perfect word of God. God, thank you for the freedom to be able to preach it. Lord, the limiting factor is not our government, not our culture, it's us. God, forgive us for not taking it more serious. God, thank you for these faithful that are here this morning. And God, they're not looking to hear from me, they're looking to hear from you. Lord, I pray that you'd help me to get out of the way. Father, I pray that our life would testify of the change that you've made in our heart. And others would hear it by what we do. Lord, as the song was just sung, people need you. And we are the vehicle by which the gospel is entrusted. And God, help us to be faithful with those things. Lord, bless it here now. And Holy Spirit of God, that you would work in our heart. God, again, once again, we come to you. Lord, we come to you humbly. Lord, help us to be honest. Just between us and thee. Lord, work in us. Change us. Perfect us. Lord, we love you and we pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. What a great passage of Scripture. There's so much here. I mean, we talk of salvation, we talk of His return, and we're going to speak of all those things. How many of you have heard that phrase, actions speak louder than words, right? If we look at Titus chapter 2 and verse 1, but speak thou the things, right? Isn't that what it says? Titus chapter 2 and verse 1. At the end, it says this, verse 15. So, Titus 2, 1 and Titus 2, 15. Titus 2, 1, speak thou the things which become sound doctrine. Verse 15, these things speak. So, sandwiched in between verses 1 and 15 are some things we ought to talk about. Right? Seems reasonable. Seems like a logical conclusion as we study the Scriptures here this morning. Hey, there's some things that God says this is important. But I want to encourage you this morning that the things that we're going to be speaking about are not necessarily always verbal. Say, what do you mean? We are going to testify of the truths found in Titus chapter 2. By the way we live. Our life is going to speak and reinforce and pronunciate the thoughts that God is trying to get across. And should that not be so? Should our words and our actions not match? What do we despise about politicians? Everything. I don't care what side of the aisle you sit on. They say one thing and then what happens? They do another. They do stuff that they said they would never, ever do. Oh. You vote them in on a promise and it ends up you vote them in on a lie. Oh, it burns us. And then we try and take, no, next time I'm going to vote that guy out of there. Why are we so frustrated with that? We're so frustrated with that because we're listening to something and watching something and the two don't match. How powerful would it be for us as Christians, the things that are said are seen. The things that are said are seen in us. This morning, we are going to tell God's message by, listen now, living God's message. Last few weeks, we talked about being rooted and grounded in love. And we talked about what the root system ought to look like. And that's our relationship with the Lord. We talked about the stability and the feeding through the ground. Now what? Hey, if I have that relationship, if I have those nutrients, if I have the things in my Christian life that I ought to be there, I have the right, if you will, prescription and vitamins, right? Nutrients necessary for the Christian to grow. If I have all those things, what should happen? You should see that. There should be evidence of that. When a tree is healthy, what is seen? Well, eventually fruit is seen. Fruit is an excellent indicator that everything is healthy. We have a cherry tree at our house. And that cherry tree is not what you would call healthy. So how do you know? The fruit, it's just got these little cherries. The pits are bigger than the fruit. I don't know how that happens, Liam, but it is. Not really. But that thing's got dead limbs. Say, why don't you cut it down? Well, it does provide a little shade on that side. In our life, the fruit of our life, our actions of our life indicate how strong our root system is and how healthy our soil is. And if those two things are working, we ought to be able to see some things. Our life ought to speak of the truths of God. Number one, speaking these things, it says in verse 11, for the grace of God, verse 11. Point number one in verse 11. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men. Number one, speaking these things, tell the world of God's grace. Tell the world of God's grace. Our life, not only ought we to be handing... Can I come down here without my mask?
Not only ought we to be handing out our gospel tracts,
but our life ought to be evidence of the miraculous change of the grace of God. Miraculous change. The old man is gone. The sinful nature has been separated from our soul and spirit. That ought to look a little different. Not just by what we say, but by what we do. Our life ought to speak of the marvelous grace of God. For by grace are ye saved through faith. Man, could you imagine? I don't know how we could imagine to think like God. But could you imagine what God must think seeing His children acting no different than those that have never trusted Christ? Could you imagine getting to heaven one day and your coworker standing there and they call on you and say, "You knew this? You live just like me. You talk just like me. You did just what I did." Has God's miraculous grace changed you? Some people don't realize of God's grace, the gift. They don't get it. What a tremendous opportunity for us to show them. May we be the, this is going to sound weird. I like Instagram. Say why? Because no one tells you what they're thinking. They just show a picture. I don't have to read about all your politics and all this kind of stuff. I can look at people and like, this is about my attention span, 20 seconds, take a paintbrush and make an amazing picture. And I like to look at that. May our life be an Instagram of God's grace. That when someone scrolls through our life, it is 100% evident that something's going on the inside. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men. Our life ought to tell the world of God's grace. Not just by even, and oh, it's good, not just by sharing it, but by living it. The way that the Christian acts ought to be different than those that are without Christ. Some people don't know about the gift of grace, and it is our privilege, our opportunity to show them. Keep your hand in Titus chapter 2. Turn with me over to Galatians chapter 6. Everybody doing okay this morning? Feeling good? Have some oatmeal? Yesterday we threw out last Sunday's oatmeal. See, I make oatmeal. The kids call for, Dad, can you make us oatmeal Saturday night? So I get up, and Sunday morning I make oatmeal, and then, I don't want oatmeal. So we take it, and we have this great intention. We're going to save it. I don't know. Oatmeal does not save. Can't use it again. But I hope you had a good breakfast this morning. Hope you're anticipating a relaxing and nice afternoon. Snow has stopped. Go home, maybe have some fresh chicken noodle soup or something. But until then, may we surround ourselves or dive into the Word of God. And it's good to see you this morning. I'm glad you're here. Galatians chapter 6 and verse 14. But God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. Galatians 6, 14. I have, quite honestly, I had nothing to do with my salvation. I just received the gift. Imagine you were, maybe you went to, I don't know, we'll just make up a, just for fun, RIT, all right? And there you are, and you went to RIT, and you graduate from RIT, and you walk out with your $200,000 worth of school debt. Maybe not. No, not. Maybe you got yourself in trouble and made some really bad decisions. You bought a house, the housing market fell apart, and there you are, $400,000 in debt. $400,000, how could I ever? And someone comes by, and they just write a check and pay off your entire debt. What'd you have to do with that? Nothing. You just took the gift. That's kind of what this Galatians chapter 6, verse 14 says. But God forbid that I should glory save in the cross. I can't glory in this. I didn't do this. I just received it. I just got my debt paid. But that certainly changed my life. Could you imagine walking around with the burden of $400,000, $200,000 of debt, and all of a sudden, miraculously, that was taken away? Whoo! That would change your living life. To be in debt and debt-free. How about this? How about the consequences of sin? Aware of that, familiar with that, seeing where that's going, feeling that weight, and then all of a sudden, boom, that thing's gone. Woo! That ought to change our life. So much so that our life ought to tell others about the change that happened. Verbally, but how about through action? Look at Romans chapter 6. Romans chapter 6. We have 4 points this morning. 4 points. Say, what one are we on now? We're at the end of point number one. At the end of point number one. Romans chapter 6 and verse 1. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Next two words, God forbid. Mm-mm. That's now how you ought to live. You've been saved. Do you live like you weren't? God says, God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Hey, you're debt free. Verse 3, know ye not that so many of us were baptized into Jesus Christ, were baptized into his death? Therefore, we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. The old man is buried. I ought to walk in newness of life. I should have a different gait about me. I should have a different conversation about me. I should have different actions about me. Say, that's a little legalistic, don't you think? You feel like you're taking your position and forcing us to... God says that there's a different way when you lived, when you were lost, to how you're saved, and it ought to be evident in your life. It ought to be seen in your life. Praise the Lord for his mercy and his long-suffering we talked about Wednesday night. Thankful he doesn't expect a complete... He's patient with us. But there ought to be evidence. There ought to be evidence. Verse 5, for if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection. There ought to be some sort of similarity. There ought to be something in our life that says, I'm debt free. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, and that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. Titus chapter 2 says, I want you to talk about some things. I want you to talk about some things with your life. Number one is the miraculous grace of God of salvation that hath appeared to all men. Tell the world of God's grace by how you live. Number two, Titus chapter 2. Number two. Again, we have just a few points here this morning. Titus chapter 2 and verse 12. Teaching us that, denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly. I think it's important that, well, we'll finish the verse, righteously and godly in this present world. It doesn't say teaching us. Teaching is a knowledge. In school, we equip our students at Lake Ontario Baptist Academy with knowledge. Some are learning what a CH sounds like. You say, that's simple. Yeah, but if you don't know it, it's not. How the R sound is supposed to go. You try and teach a kid how to say the sound R. You just go R. Yeah, what happens if they can't do it? That takes work. It takes discipline. And you're asking a 4 and 5 and 6 year old to discipline their mouth, have control over their tongue. These are kids where their tongues just hang out of their mouth. Drooling. They lick paste and you're trying to teach them how to, all the way up to physics of why motion happens and how it all works and everything in between. What are we doing? We're equipping them with knowledge. We often think of teaching as instruction and knowledge, but God takes it one step further and he says that we should live. He teaches us how to live. We ought to tell the world of God's teachings. Having received the grace of God, our lives must change. We must follow God's word. Psalm 119, it is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. Tell the world that God's word is true. Say how? Number one, getting the knowledge, but number two, putting that into practice. Teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. Do you know that your life teaches this verse over and over again? Because when we don't deny ungodliness and worldly lusts, you know what happens? Our life is evident of that. When our life, when we say, you know what? I want to tamper in sin. I want to fellowship with the world. I want to see what the other side has to offer. Do you understand that there's no hiding that? God's chastisement, Hebrews chapter 12, He chastises those that He loves, and He cares for us, and He works in our life. But when He's working in your life, do you understand that is also evidence that the Word of God is true? Wouldn't we rather be the evidence of what sobriety, righteousness, and godliness is? Not a proof of God's judgment? Hey man, you told me you're a Christian. Why are you so miserable? I'll tell you why you're so miserable. Because you're not walking right. You're not living right. You want to be evidence of God's teachings? Hey, we're proof of it. We are transparent. Say, oh no, I hide. You can't hide anything. You deny godliness and you embrace worldly lusts? That's going to be seen. You live soberly, righteously, and godly? That's going to be seen. Your life proves the teachings of God. How many of you been to Israel? Anybody ever go to Israel? We got some? All right, Matthew. We have the Jordan River. North of the Jordan River is a sea called the Sea of Galilee. Fresh water nourishes the whole area. It's good. Down the Jordan River, things go in and out of the Sea of Galilee. But at the end of the Sea of Galilee, well, you go from the Sea of Galilee down the Jordan River. At the end of the Jordan River is the Dead Sea. Things go in, nothing goes out. Nothing lives there. It's dead. You know, in our life, we've been equipped with a lot. We ought to be like the Sea of Galilee. Things just come in us and go out us. That's a sign of life. Maybe our ladies can testify of this thought in the kitchen. Anybody ever use a sponge? Sponges are great. They're great for cleaning, soak stuff up. It's great. If you leave a sponge with all that soapy water in it on the counter, for a couple days. Then you reactivate the sponge by putting water in it. What happens? It stinks. Is that right? Ever smell a bad old sponge? Ever wash something and then have to wash your hands because you just touched, like you got to find like lemon juice or something to get that smell out of there. It's worse than garlic. You smell it all day. Somehow it permeates into your nostrils and you can't stop smelling it. It's like, oh, this stinks every time. Hey, the Christians sometimes like that. Kind of like the Dead Sea. The teachings came in but never went out. You're like that sponge that never got wrung out. You stink. That's not what you were designed for. It's just evidence that you're not doing it right. We have been equipped with so much. Man, we are beyond blessed. We're rich. With so much knowledge. Praise the Lord, I don't know how we got in. But we not only got in on the grace of God, but we understand, thankfully, to some degree, what we're doing here and what's to come. We have the Word of God. We have the King James Bible. Man, God's perfectly preserved Word. We have no excuse. Over Christmas, my kids got an instruction manual for this toy. In the instruction manual, I read a review online, and they said, the person said, fun toy, good luck with the instructions. Wait till you get to step number 39, and you have to go back to number 8 and restart again because they told you wrong. And isn't it good to know that the instruction manual in our life is good? Isn't it good to know that everything in this book, man, we are blessed and rich. We have been entrusted with much teachings. Be careful that you not become like the Dead Sea or that stinky sponge. Get wrung out every now and then. Allow the Word of God to not just come to you, but pass through you. That we would tell the world of God's teachings. There's a diner over by Leaf and Bean. That's Chilai Avenue. I'm not too... Chilai, all the roads run like diagonal. So I get confused sometimes over there. It's kind of like Henrietta, East Henrietta Road, West Henrietta Road. Like just, couldn't you have named it a different road? Anyways, there's certain towns in our area that just confuse me. But there's a restaurant, it's called Steve's Original Diner. There's three of them in Rochester now. Have you been? Did you get a pancake?
My brother works at one of them.
Wonderful. Did you get a pancake? Hugh, thank you. You say pancake, Steve's Original, you go like this. See, what does that mean? We found something. Found something real good. And I can't wait to take more people. Hey, we found something real good. I can't wait to tell more people. Are the teachings of God going through you or just stopping with you? Tell the world of God's teachings. Number three, let's look at verse 13. Looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. I have great circled in my Bible. He's not just coming back. He's the great God. Look at, hold your hand again in Titus chapter 2, Acts chapter 1. Acts chapter 1. Appreciate our Sunday school teachers. We had a tremendous class in Brother Kopacheski's class, and I heard they were doing great up in here. And David, they're making through David okay. And Brother Bauman had flow charts of David's genealogy. Excellent. Acts chapter 1 and verse 9. When he had spoken these things while they beheld, he was taken up and a cloud received him out of their sight. Who's that speaking of? Christ, right? Verse 10. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? Kind of remind me, why sit ye here idle, right? Same thought. The same Jesus which is taken up from you into heaven shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven. He says, don't worry, he'll be back. Isn't that what we just read in Titus chapter 2 and verse 13? Looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. The promise of Christ's return, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verse 14. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again. How many of you believe Jesus died and rose again? For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. You can stand on that grave. You can lock it up. I just listened to a podcast about Harry Houdini. I think his real name was like Eric Peters or something like that. He was Hungarian or something of that sort, and he got out of things. He got out of handcuffs. He did all this stuff. He submerged himself in water multiple times. Hey, there's no holding the graves back, right? Isn't that what it says? There's nothing you can do to prevent it. The Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. So shall we ever be with the Lord. Say, wow, that sounds pretty exciting to me. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. Tell the world of the blessed hope. Look at 1 John chapter 3. Look at this. 1 John chapter 3 and verse 1. First John chapter 3 and verse 1. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Sounds like a great song. Didn't we sing that last Sunday night? Behold, what manner of love. I think, did we? Okay, thank you, Mrs. Runyon. Woke somebody up there asking questions. All right. That we should be called the sons of God. Therefore, the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Beloved, now, are we the sons of God? And doth it not yet appear what we shall be? But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him. For we shall see him as he is. And that every man that hath this hope. And every man that hath this hope. What hope? Oh, the blessed hope. Of his glorious appearing. And him purifieth himself even as he is pure. Our life ought to testify and speak of the blessed hope by our life of purity. That's what that says. When we're standing there waiting for him, that helps us stay clean. Heard the story of a young schoolgirl and a younger class, an elementary class, and the teacher brought in their friend, and he was a distinguished gentleman, and he just kind of visited the class there, and the students really liked him and had high esteem of him, and he spoke well, and he was, again, what you would consider a gentleman, and he says, I'm going to come back and visit, and whoever has the cleanest desk will get a reward. Well, a little girl off to the side said to her friends at the break time, she says, one week from today, I'm going to have the cleanest desk. I want to win that award. And their friend said, well, what happens if he doesn't come back in a week? What happens if he comes sooner? She said, oh, that's a good point. All right, tomorrow I'm going to have my desk the cleanest. And they said, what happens if he comes back this afternoon? Says, you're right. She left break early, went back to her desk and cleaned it all up because she didn't know when the gentleman was going to come back. It's an excellent illustration to us. When's he coming? Jacob, do you know? You don't? Maybe Benjamin knows. Benjamin, when is the Lord going to return? Really, I mean, I can schedule it. It would be helpful. Just a date. Maybe a month, a year, a decade. Am I going to see it? Am I going to be alive? We ought to live like it, though. Well, I'll clean my life. I'll clean my life up next week. I just want to get through some things. What happens if he comes back before that? Our life ought to speak of the blessed hope by, and every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself, even as he is pure. Yes, by what we say, but even more so by what we do. Tell the world of God's grace. Tell the world of God's teaching. Tell the world of the blessed hope. Lastly, Titus chapter 2. Titus chapter 2 and verse 14, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people. Some Christians really take that to the nth degree. Zealous of good works. These things speak and exhort and rebuke with all authority. Let no man despise thee. Not only should our life speak of, testify of God's grace, of his teachings, of the promise of his return, but our life ought to tell the world how to live. In 2 Timothy, the Bible tells us in chapter 2, if you'd like, you can turn there. The Bible tells us that God knows who's his. In verse 18, in 2 Timothy 2:18, it says this, who concerning the truth have erred, saying that the resurrection is past already and overthrow the faith of some. Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having the seal, the Lord knoweth them that are his. And everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. And let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. You say you're a Christian. Do you depart from iniquity? The world can know what is important to us by our actions. In verse 20 it says, but in a great house there are not only vessels of gold and of silver, but of wood and of earth, and some to honor and some to dishonor. Verse 21, if a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified and meet for the master's use, and prepared unto every good work. Be not confused. You will not lose your salvation if you do not behave in a certain manner. But ought not the grace of God, ought not we give some thought, attention, and action to the miraculous change on the inside? Ought our life not be one lived in a way that testifies of the truth of the Word of God? If we go back to Titus chapter 2, in verse 1, it says, but speak the things which become sound doctrine. I don't change the Word of God. I think it's perfect. And in verse 1 where it says, but speak thou the things, I think that word ought to be there. Speak. But could our life speak of the truths of the Word of God, the sound doctrine of the Word of God, more so than what we even would say, but our life would prove it? That the aged men be what? Sober. We saw that before in verse 12. That the aged men be sober, grave, temperate, sound in faith and charity and patience. The aged women likewise, that they be in a behavior as becometh holiness. Not false accusers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things, that they may teach the younger women to be what? And here we see that word again, sober. To love their husbands, to love their children. To be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God may, the word of God be not blasphemed. Say, oh, Pastor, you're right. We need lessons. We need classes. We need classes for the ladies. Let's get a ladies' class together. And praise the Lord, we'll do that. We have Debbie Pride coming in June. Oh, we're excited. How many of you know Debbie Pride? Leah, have you ever heard Debbie Pride? You're going to get a blessing from Debbie Pride. Guaranteed. She's a lady's lady thing. All right? And we have men's meetings and we eat killed beasts and we do all that and we open up the scriptures and say, all right, here's how the men ought to act. But could we for a moment make the exchange of, yes, verbalizing, but maybe we could teach the young men in verse 6, likewise to exhort to be sober-minded, not by teaching a lesson about the word sobriety, not teach a lesson about what it means to be sober and to be serious about the things of God and go to all the cross-references. Sure, there's a time for that, but could our life teach that better? Could we take these young men and instruct them, just bring them alongside, and may they come along by us, and we lock arms with them and show them a more perfect way, not even by what we say, just by how we conduct ourselves. Ladies, that you would adhere to these things, not just speak of them, but truly love your husband, love your children, be discreet. Chaste, what's chaste? It's a protection. Keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husband. Say, how do you teach those things? By living those things. Young men, likewise, exhort to be sober-minded in all things, showing thyself a pattern of good lessons and outlines and information. No, what does it say? A pattern of good works. In doctrine, showing uncorruptness, gravity, sincerity, sound speech that cannot be condemned, that he that is of a contrary part may be ashamed, having no evil thing to say of you. You could live your life that even if someone spoke evil of you, no one would believe it because of what you did. You don't have to defend yourself with words. You can defend yourself with action. That takes a lifetime to prove. Oh, and I'm all about studying the scriptures. I love studying the scriptures. Tonight we're going to look at Jehovah Shalom and what that means. And oh, it's so awesome. I invite you to come back tonight. Gideon. We're going to be looking at Gideon. And it'll be an encouragement to you, I promise you. And I love studying the scriptures. But when's the transfer to application? That we should tell the world of God's grace, that we should tell the world of God's teaching, that we should tell the world of the blessed hope, that we should tell the world how to live. It was said, life is a matter of building. Each of us has the opportunity to build something. We could build a secure family, a good reputation, a career, a relationship to God. But some of those things can disappear almost overnight due to financial loss, disasters, unforeseen difficulties. So what are we to do? Daniel Webster responded with this. Daniel Webster offered excellent advice, saying, if we work on marble, it will perish. If we work on brass, time will efface it. If we rear temples, they will crumble to dust. But if we work on men's immortal minds, if we imbue them with high principles, with just fear of God and the love of their fellow man, we engrave on those tables something that time cannot efface and will brighten to all eternity. Are you living God's message? Let's all stand.